Okay, we'll start all the din of Ksamim. So today we'll just talk the kitzer about the din that there's a shear and a kesem, that a kesem went down without hargasha. So it's only tame when it's over a gris. It has to be a gris v'od. So the way this heter is presented in the Gemara on Daf Nun Chas, it's presented together with all the other dinner of Tzlios. That if ever there's something that the dam could be tola on, it could be didn't come from her, it could be came from someplace else. So in Mela, the halacha is that it could be tola and it could be me. So in the same way, the Gemara presents that there's a tliya on a macholas. The macholas is louse, has dam, and therefore you can be told on it. So Lashna Gemara, Lashna Mishnah, it says like this, we're told b'kol davar sheyachol letzlos, you can make any tzliya that you could do. Harga macholas, hareza tola ba. If she kills a macholas, you can be told on it. Ad kama tola, Rav Chanina ben Atignus Omer, ad kigris, up to the share of a gris, a feel lo harga. And even if she didn't kill a macholas, normally, you need to know that you killed something. You walked on a shalot tabach and they were killing something. But here we say, even if you didn't kill a macholas, still you can be told on it because there are many macholases around. So the Gemara says that we're told even if it was low hargas. So the Gemara gives a little bit of a reason for this. It says, because ein lecha kol mita o mita she'ein vo kamati beidam macholas. That macholas is so common, and you rarely know that you actually killed the macholas. They're so small, you don't even notice. So therefore, we were willing to be tola, even though we didn't actually see it. Even though we don't actually have the idea that you killed the macholas. So very nice. Basically, pashit. The big question is, what about b'yameinu? That's where things heat up, because it's true we have lice. You know, we have head lice, but it used to be those body lice. You know, body lice was something more extreme. You know, Chazal, they're always talking about being mafala kalev, taking the lice out of your clothing. Because it used to be that body lice was like bed bugs, that they live inside a person's clothing, and you could look very carefully and pull them out, but generally they live in people's clothing, and then they come out, bite the person, and go back into the clothing.
Like
kinim?
Or different?
What?
Different than
maka kinim? Yeah, they're kinim. But I'm just saying, we don't have, in America, we don't have body lice. Some places in the world they still have it, but in America we don't have body lice, we have head lice, and even that we don't have that much. So, shaila is, does this really happen? Now these bugs, even though they're pretty small bugs, the way they work is that they suck a person's blood and their whole body blows up to like, you know, a few times bigger than their size, you know, they're able to drink bigger than their body size of blood, and they hold it in them. And then, when you crush them, all that blood comes out into a spot. Right, just like bed bugs, Bisman has it also. You could find if someone has bed bugs, they could find bits of dam on their bed. Right, like mosquitoes also. If you crush a mosquito after it's fed, you get a nice little dot of blood, a spot. So that blood really looks like blood, right? Because it is blood. It is a person's blood. It's human blood. It just happens to be. It's not from nidus. And even though the woman didn't see a cup, it's really, basically, it's dam coming from the woman. Oh, so what about today? Is there still something? Even if you don't kill a macholas, assume you did kill a macholas? Would we say this? So that's a shayla. First, we're going to talk about the lumdus, but really, it seems to be pretty well accepted that this heter of kegris still applies to zman hazeh. So, what could be said? So, very well known is this mil tzedakah. The mil tzedakah is very well known because he says what people would like to be true. He wasn't talking, he wasn't bothered. They had lots of body lice back then. This issue wasn't what bothered him. But he's talking about different cases where it seems very clear it didn't come from a kina, and will we still blame it on the kina? So the Mil Tzedakah says, Ein Achinami, the Chazal They talk about Kina, but really this is just built into the din of Kesamim. It's one of the coolest of Kesamim is that it's not Tame if it's less than a gris. Less than a gris isn't Tame. So it's very nice, you know, very nice. Just like there's a heter of al gavi beget sevua or al gavi davshinam kavul tuma, so too is the minimum share. So it's very nice. You know, what's nice about it is that we like just keeping halacha, not worrying about metzias. That's always our. It's always what people like. It's always attractive. You know, is it true? So the mil tzedakah doesn't bring a raya that it's true. In the Gemara, I don't. I don't see any. Even vague mashmos that it's true. You know, the whole presentation of the Gemara is that we're dealing with Tzlios, that could be the dab's not from her. It doesn't give any impression that Chazal was simply not gozer on kesem less than gris. It doesn't say, it just uses the word tola. Tola, and it says these things are very common, and therefore even though you didn't kill it, you can still be tola. Because it's so common, but it doesn't, didn't sound like it would be true that if there were no macholuses that you'd be able to be tola. So, Maisa Mil Tzedakah said it, but it was not popular because of this reason. Because it doesn't sound like the Gemara. Almost all the big guns didn't go as Mil Tzedakah. And Mr. Ritara, the Placey, the Gilead of Rashach, Achmas Adam, Shulchan Aruch, Havastas, the big guns, they all came a little bit, saying this can't be. It says Tzliya. Tzliya's a Tzliya. It'd be nice to assume this, but why should we assume this? And the other thing one could say is, Ein Achinami, we don't have Macholuses today, but we should make believe there's Macholuses today. I mean, look at the world and assume, if there were Macholuses, could this be from Macholus? I suggest it also, it's like very hard because generally it's not our take on, I don't know, maybe say on Torah, on Yiddishkeit. It's like, Zilbasser Taima, Agra de Schmeitzer Svara. Chazal, they were trying to tell us dinim based on the Metzias, but it's not that they were freezing us in 3rd century Persia. And now we need to be historians to figure out exactly what type of macholuses were and how they work. Like, that's not what we'd expect. But it's not so geschmack to say that. So what could we say? What could we say better? And hopefully something true. Don't just say things because we have to say them, hopefully. So one thing, Pashet, that you could say is that Chazal never meant that macholus is the only source of little bits of dam. One point that you don't think about it much, but you definitely notice it. Like if you look at your shirt at the end of the day, right? Especially if you have kids and you look at your shirt at the end of the day, right? It's not going to be white anymore, right? There's going to be things there. You're going to look and you'll see different things and little things. You don't even wonder where they came from, because there's so many possibilities where little dots could come from. Now, a big stain you're going to start wondering about, right? Because where does the big stain come from? But the smaller the stain is, the less you wonder where it came from, right? It's just a metzius. Even bedikah cloth. After the woman checks it, then they bring it to you to look at it. And you look at it, and you can also start finding things that she didn't notice. Why? Because things that are so small, if you look really carefully, you could find, you look at things that are supposed to be white, you'll notice there's really other colors there. That's the way the smaller things are. There's so many things that things come from over the day, we don't even think about it. There's mosquitoes, there's tiny paper cuts, there's ketchup, or all sorts of other bugs that we do have, like, ticks and, different things that could cause bleeding and you wouldn't notice it. There's so many times people notice it. They're like, where did that come from? Or So you could say that, no, Chazal, they were dibra behova. By them, the culprit, if you're going to have a name for your culprit, you're going to call him Macholas. But it wasn't really what they were after. A little bit, I thought the Gemara sounds this way. I'll just read you the Lashon HaGemara. There's a Braisa on Unches. It says that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Hakol Tameh. Everything's Tameh. Rav Chinin ben Atzigner says up to a gris. Rabbanim says Keturmus Tola. You can be Tola up to the sides of the Turmus in a Pishpesh. Okay, well, Pishpesh is a bed bug. Chacham were more Makel, a bigger span. So the Gemara says, is machria. It says, L'Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, ain lecha isha Torah labayla. According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, he's just being too machmer. Ain lecha isha Torah labayla. Right, not literally, right, of course. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is mataris his wife sometimes, but you're just being so machmer. Woman's gonna not going to be too machmer. L'Rav Banan, ain lecha isha tmeya. Rabbanan, they're being too makel. A woman's never going to be tmeya if you use this, the bed bug share. Okay? So therefore the Gemara comes out, we're very happy with Chanina ben Antignus, that it's kigris. So a little bit funny, the Gemara is just funny. What are we talking about if we're being too machmer or too makel? Who cares if we're being machmer or makel? This is part, if it's just a part of the sugya of tzlios, the only question is this a reasonable tzliya or is this not a reasonable tzliya? Right, the same way as Shukshel Tabachim. Like, just tell me. I don't care. What if a woman lived in a place where in a blood bank, you know? And they're always throwing blood around. So she won't have ksamim. Okay. Oh, we're being too mekel in lecha isha tmeya. What do you mean? What do I care? She'll be tmeya when she has a hargash and sees dam. Like, what do I care? You're being too... Whatever the messias is, that should be the din. That should dictate the din, not her being too machm or too mekel. So it's, the mashmos, I thought, is that, no, they understand there's a bigger kesem. It's harder to be tola. The smaller the kesem, the more common they are, and the more we're gonna pin it on some source, even if it's not so well known. So by them, the source was a macholas, even though you don't know you killed a macholas. But that's what they called it. But in a chinami, by us, there's all sorts of things. Could be your magic markers. Could be you're holding a little baby. Whatever it was, different things. But the basic idea will be: this is the tzliya. That's just based on the size. It's a tzliya for small size things. You could be more taller. So that could make things work. That it's not like the mil tzedakah. It is a tzliya, but it's a different type of tzliya. It's a tzliya that Chazal sort of built in. That very small stains. You always have a tzliya. There's one other consideration that yeah.
Can we just explain that again?
That maybe make it like this. The Gemara says, brings the machlokas about how much she could be tola. And then the Gemara's machria, or the Bryce's machria. It's machria based on the fact that if you're going to be makel the shear of a bed bug, you're being too makel. Ein lecha isha tzmeya. If you're going to be machmer, and say any spot, so then you're going to be too machmer. And therefore, we're machria. What makes sense to us is the share of kigris. So, what are we talking about? Why are we talking about if we're being too machmer, too makel? What's reasonable? Legabe woman becoming tame. Why is that the issue? Just talk about, say, we don't have so many bed bugs. And therefore, it's not reasonable to be told on a bed bug. Like that should have been the svara, the type of svara that we're presenting. Whether it being machmer or mekel, chur is irrelevant. If you have tzlios, you have tzlios. Some women always have tzlios, right? This woman, if a woman has a cut on her near the osel makom, so she'll never have ksamim. That's the way it is. Some women have hemorrhoids. They'll never have ksamim because they always have something to be told on. Are we worried that, oh, we're being too makel here, what's going to be? No, who cares we're being too makel? Right? So you can say, no, that avada, it's not that we're clearing the bed bug versus the louse. What's more realistic? It's that we're being makel even when you have no known source to be told on. And we're doing it based on a size, and we're trying to think, what is a reasonable size? We're going to be machmer, and we're going to be have makel. But what's reasonable? What size is the cutoff point? That size is the most, a size I'm willing to say, up to there, it really might not be from her. Right? That's the sort of, yeah.
Who is the Rav who was explaining this?
Who's saying this? I'm saying it, yeah, okay. My dear. Fine. So that's a. I mean, others have said this, you know, a little bit. Fine. There's another point that might have been in Chazal's mind here, and I think it's kedai to mention just to like strengthen our cooler here that we shouldn't feel bad relying on a gris. This one has there's a very interesting gemara on Nida Daftan Beis. Gemara says that if a woman hasn't changed her clothes in a few days, and she finds in herself a spot, a stain that is the size of 3 grisin, a 3 gris large stain. Now, you know, once a stain is more than a gris, so we don't assume the involvement of kina here, right? Even though it could be, right? You could have 10 kinim all coming and being crushed in the same place, right? But Chazal didn't say that, right? So Chazal didn't say that because, maybe like what we're mentioning, because it's a shear, right? Up to Adkan. Adkan where the size were told. So we don't think, so we know this dam is coming from her guf. Fine, so she's Tmeya. But the Gemara says, this is, that before the days of Chumrat Rav Zera, when they still kept the din of Zava, the Gemara says, if she's been wearing this beged for 3 days, and she finds a stain that's 3 grisin, then she has to assume that she saw on all 3 days. She wore it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and since this stain is 3 grisin large, she has to assume she saw a gris on Sunday, a gris on Monday, a gris on Tuesday, and therefore she's Tameya as a Zava. She becomes a Zava Gedola. Mikoach tums k'samim, because there's a because you could break it up into 3 separate years, but if it's only 2 grisim, so now you can't break it up into 3 days. So therefore, she would not be a zava. She wouldn't have done a zava. Right? You got the case. Wow. So this is very strange, right? I would say this is very strange, because once we're saying that it's not from a macholas, so what do I care how big the stain is? I know this is dam and haguf. If it's been haguf, so maybe it came on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and it's still less than a gris. It's a small amount. But why do I have to have a gris for each day? Why then does it become a ri'ah? It's dam and haguf. It's a dam and haguf. So what do I care if it has a gris? Like, why do I say I'm only going to divide it into 3 ri'ils if it's a... if it, you have a gris for each day. Yeah, you hear the kasha? Yeah.
We're asking if we know it's from the guf because it happened 3 times, or?
No, we know it's from a guf because the stain is bigger than a gris.
But each day was like, we're assuming it was like a gris each day.
Right. So why do I have to assume, once we have a rule that you can't be tola more than a gris on a macholas, and not only that, even if you have a big spot, you can't assume that there was more than one macholas in that spot, right? You can't assume that. So once you're not assuming that, so this is dam ben haguf, it's not from macholas. So why couldn't it be that she saw on 3 days? A little bit on Sunday, a little bit on Monday, a little bit on Tuesday. Why do I have to be able to assume that she saw a gris on each day? That's the question.
Like, why not have a different case? Like, she only just saw once.
Well, yeah. As long as it's over a gris, she saw him in her guf, and maybe it was over 3 days. Why is it that when we could divide the Re'iyah into a gris for each day, so now we're going to say she's a Zava? Did you hear this, Kasha? We'll never say that there was more than one Macholas in this thing. So, we're going to say this down from the Guf here. The only question is did it all come out in one shot on Tuesday? Or was it a little bit Sunday, a little bit Monday, a little bit Tuesday? It's like, why is one... Suddenly we have three grissom and now we're going to be Choshesh. Why are we being Choshesh now?
Was she checking every day?
No.
She only checked
at the end. All she knows is on Tuesday she found a three gris stain. So I would just say, maybe Pashta, maybe Chazal, we're building into a lumdus that we're told on a Macholas, but there's really something else going on in Chazal, which is that, you know, everyone knows that if there's a Re'iyah, right, the whole Ksamim is a protection to the din of Re'iyah. Now, Re'iyah, generally, women don't feel, when it's very small amounts of blood, they won't feel. If you see something tiny, I've never seen a woman say she feels it. They do say they feel it, but when do they say they feel it? When it was something bigger, a significant amount of blood coming, so then they'll feel something, whatever they feel, something brewing there, something, some sort of discharge. But you're not going to feel a discharge for something that's less than a gris. So you could say that built into Chazal's, really behind, you know, Chazal aren't always megala all their time for things, that is the idea that something very small, much less likely was Behar Gasha, and also more likely came from someplace else. But that when we're breaking up, if we're going to be choshe for Zavah Gedola, right, this new chash we have, to be choshe for Zavah Gedola out of a kesem, we want there to be at least a gris a day. That's a Re'iyah. So that's Machshava.
Like a Chazaka?
Like a Chazaka?
Like three times it's a Chazaka that's from her?
No, we're saying it's from her. We know it's from her. Why? Because this is a stain more than a gris. So we know it's from her. The only question is why are we dividing it between 3 days? And the real question is, why are we dividing between 3 days only when the stain is 3 grissim large? What does that have to do with how many days she saw it on? It's damigufa. You're not told on macholas. Why do we want it? Why, when it's 3 grissim, do we now be told that she saw Re'iyah on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday of damigufa? So just pointing out, it sounds, this seems to be a mucker, that in Chazal, a gris was not just the Inyan Tzliya. It's also into what's normal to be a Re'iyah. And therefore, when there's a shear for 3 Re'iyos, we divide it. Ein achinami, if a woman felt a hargasha and it was a tipa stam kechardel, we also would be mutami. But when she didn't feel it, so in Mela, we're going to be choshesh only when it has this shear. Right? I'm quoting this Gemara. I would say this Gemara is a bit of a mashmos, that it's not just a regular tzliya. If it's just a regular tzliya, so why would I care that I could break the kesem into 3 days of a gris? Did you hear that?
Why would I be able to make a girl zava gadola if I didn't have proof that it was not every day? I mean, just because she has a lot right now doesn't mean that it was... It
doesn't mean she's a zava gadola, right?
Right.
So why would we say she's a zava gadola? Why would we say she's a zava gadola? We say she's a zava gadola because it seems reasonable to split it between 3 days. So if it's a very minute amount in the stain, it's not reasonable to say she saw this over a 3-day period. I mean, she could have seen it, because she's been wearing this bag of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So maybe she did. But the chayr of the pshat is that Chazal didn't see it as very reasonable to have a separate ri'ah being less than a gris. And therefore, they weren't choshesh for zavah gedola when the stain was less than 3 grisim. Could you hear that? Okay. Meaning, for some reason, Chazal say that when you have a stain that's 3 grisim large, you could assume she's a zavah gedola. If it's less than 3 grisim, you won't assume that way. So, if all gris is relevant to is if you're told by macholas, so l'chor it's not relevant in this case because this spot, this stain is 3 grisim, and you're not told a 3 gris stain on a macholas. So you can't be told on a macholas. So you're not being told on a macholas. Yet, we see there's a separate din that when Chazal were just assuming, had this blood come, did it come in one shot or in 3 days? We don't know. So we'll be choshesh it came in 3 days. We'll be willing to have that chashash of chumra, but only if the stain was big enough that I could have a gris on each day. So why is that? So I'm suggesting it's because they were only worried about be'etzem, even if it came migufa, they were really only worried about a stain that's the size of a gris. Could you hear that?
A little bit more.
A little more? Okay. All right. So let's move weiter. We can think about that point. But that's the basis to say that gris is more than your regular tzliya. So that's the mahalach. I'm just mentioning, this is not l'kulia alma, because some of these things are mentioned, it's so pashat, by us it's so pashat. Just I'll mention two Rishonim that you see is not Pashat. Just to mention. One is Rabbeinu Simcha. Rabbeinu Simcha, this is an Agos Ma'amanios in Perek Tes. This would be a Perek Tes. So this is, he's a Talmud of Rashi. And he writes something very interesting. He's explaining the Rambam. The Rambam, we know, has a Shita that we're more machmer on the Guf. On the guf, even a mashu is tame, whereas in the begadim, only a gris is tame. So why is that? So lots of nice reasons. Yeah, Yosef, you have nice reasons for stame.
Baduk over there.
Okay. The osamakam is baduk. Okay, but the whole basar is baduk. Okay. So Rabbeinu Simcha says, he says because lice, the way their lice, which is body lice, he says it lives in the clothing. And therefore, when you move around, it's sitting there in the clothing, it's often gets crushed in the clothing. And he said, the mitzvah is that you have lice spots, crushed lice is in the clothing, but on the guf, it doesn't generally get crushed in that way. This is what he says. He's saying the mitzvah. I don't have body lice. I can't tell you. But that's what he says. On your flesh, you don't normally find it because it comes out of the clothes, gets a bit of blood out of the person, and jumps back into the clothing. This is a real thing. This is a real Matthias. Not in America. But this was the Matthias. So he says, therefore, when he finds it in the clothing, there's more reason to be told on the cholas than on the skin. That's his shita. That's his hezber in the Rambam. So you see from Rabbeinu Simcha, is he really took the macholas very seriously. Right? It's clear from him, if not for the macholas, and if not for this real chashash of macholas, because it's in the clothing, the way it lives, you would not be told on macholas, and you would not have a heter of gris. Just point out, we're not saying this for halacha. We're just la'emes. We're saying Rabbeinu Simcha mistama, if he lived today and still held the same shita, he wouldn't be happy with being told a good gris. The other shita that sounds this way is the Ravid. It's the Ravid quoted by Rav Kiva Eger. Ravid says in Balei Nefesh, we're only tola up to a gris if the stain is a red stain. But if the stain is a black stain, yeah, Be'ez Hashem will see that black is also a color of nidus. A particular shade of black is also tami dam nidus, because dam nida occasionally could come out black. So says the Ravid, black blood we're not tola on a macholas because macholas is only have red blood. Right, the reason for that we mentioned is because macholas is really sucking a person's blood and it's really human blood. And human blood never comes out black. Damnitis comes out black. But down from veins never comes out black. So therefore he says you can't be told. And therefore, if you have black, if a woman finds a black stain, it's tame even less than a gris. That's what Akiva Eger says, the halacha. So what do you see from the Ravid? You see from the Ravid, he wasn't holding like me, and he wasn't holding like the Milstak either. He was holding, this is really based on macholuses, and it has to really work with the macholus. So that's definitely a shita. The nice thing, we don't have to get worked up about this, is Rav Moshe writes, this is in Chelek Gimel Simon Kufman Beis. Rav Moshe writes, Ein Achinai with the Rav. It says this, he says, but for some reason no one else says it. So no one argues on it. A lot of times you have something and no one argues on it. But also no one brings this Ravid. You know, the Ravid, the Baalei Nefesh, is the most quoted Sefer Nida. And why does no one quote this? The only one who quotes is Rabbi Akiva Eger, who noticed it when he was learning Baalei Nefesh. Why isn't it brought in Beis Yosef and all the Svarim? So he suggests we really don't hold like the Ravid. So that's a nice thing we could say. It's an Enachinami. That is a Mahalach. It could be true. But we're going to go with a more Mekel Mahalach. Now, taking the Mahalach that we're saying, that this is a Shir of Chazal, based on a Tzliya, it's based on that it might not be from the Guf, but it's just it's a Shir that they wanted to give. So, a number of dinim that are Halach L'maisa. One din is quoted by the Pachad Yitzchak, not Rabbi Huttner, but the Encyclopedia of Yitzchak Lampertini. So he just writes something that's pashut, really, is that you could have a gris-sized stain with very little blood, or you could have a gris-sized stain with a lot of blood, right? If you have a thick baguette that absorbed all the way through, so it could have a lot of blood. Sidri Tara talks about a very thick stain. What if a stain is thick? It's not just red, but there's a thickness to it. What would we say? So Pachad Yitzchak says, it was also the Shir Chachamim didn't tell us how thick the beged is, and therefore we could always assume Lekula. But how can we assume Lekula? If you need the actual Macholas, if it's just Macholas, that shouldn't make sense. But the Pshat is that, no, that this is a Shir they gave because there's all sorts of things you could be told on. The Sidri Tara has one caveat in this din, which he says, if it's very thick, that the fi einei hamore doesn't look anymore just like a regular kesem, he says he should be machmer. So he doesn't spell out exactly what he means. What I assume he means is something you find that kesem is a shear given for a two-dimensional stain. Right, when you see something, even if it's thick, you see it as two-dimensional stain. Or if it's in a beged, absorbed, you see two dimensions. You don't see inside the beged. If you see something that looks three-dimensional, right, you see a piece of blood, l'mashal. So then you have to be more machmer, right? Because then it's not a kesem. Kesem means stain, right? If it's not if it's not two-dimensional, then you have to be more machmer because now you're looking at a three-dimensional amount of blood, and on that Chazal never said they're shir bechlal, like dried up blood. Yes, there's Chassam Sofer that has diukim. I can't go through the whole thing, but he gives you a shir of a three-dimensional shir for how much dam, and it's a very small shir. Okay, it's like a tiny drop. So that's something to keep in mind. The stain was. Their shear is only for stains. If it's not a stain, then you have to. You know, very often this happens in questions with dam in the toilet that they actually see. It's nothing stained. They just see a drop of blood, three dimensional. What do you do then? So then you have to be more machmer. Another area we find a special kula by gris is in the question of shiv nekiyim. So we've got to jump ahead. We don't know so much about this yet, but shiv nekiyim. So a woman also has to go to 7 days, has to make sure she's tahora, doesn't see any blood. This is when most of some questions are asked, because the woman's wearing white and she could see stains. So the emes is the whole context of the Gemara on Roa Kesem is all talking about a woman, seems to be a Tahora woman, who suddenly seeing a Kesem, does she become Tzmeya? The Gemara does not talk with Feirish, what about a woman in her Shivanakiyam, that she's a Tzmeya woman trying to become Tahora, and then she finds Kesamim. The Gemara doesn't tell you about that, and we assume basically that the dinim are the same. It doesn't have to be the same, maybe, but we assume that the same din of kesem applies with shiv nakiyah.
And for a restart.
What?
For a restart.
Right. But interesting, we take a chumrah of the Sefer Shum had a chumrah, and it's a chumrah that really is interesting. It's just a Rishon of chumrah. It doesn't have any basis in anything with Feirish in Maseches Nida. But he says that it doesn't make sense to him to have tzlios in the first 3 days. The first 3 days of Shiv Nakiyam, it's so likely that any dam she sees now is going to be coming from the guf, that therefore, even if this woman walked through a shukshal tabachim, and therefore possibly the dam could come from someplace else, since she's holding the first 3 days of Shiv Nakiyam, she will not have the right to be tola, and she'll be tame even though she went through a shukshal tabachim.
Why?
It's a pala, right? I'll tell you what he said. It's a little bit of... Oh, I don't know if it doesn't make sense.
She just finished her Shavakim.
No. She finished her Nidus. She's finished. She did a half Sektara. But after a woman does a half Sektara, it's still pretty likely to still see Dam after that. Well,
that's the Raya, the flow stopped. I mean, like, that's all.
That shows it stopped. Okay, that's...
Now you're telling me it did this?
Right, so who says? Right, it's interesting. Okay, honest truth, I hear what you're saying loud and clear. I can just tell you this is accepted Psak and Shulchan Aruch, that the first 3 days we don't allow tzlios. Why the Sefer Truma said it, the idea being is that if your tzliya, he was understanding your tzliya has to be like a safek hashakal. It has to be that it could be it was from the Shukshal Tabachim, could be some Isha. But the Isha, on the first 3 days, it's seen as like so
what,
much more
what,
like...
What are we doing then? What are we doing?
Right.
What's the whole point of Adika? I'm saying, what's the whole point of having that final Adika after you may need that?
Right, you're saying good. That half Sektara, you assume, is giving you a chazaka.
If you're telling me nothing, then what are you doing?
Yeah, I have to tell you, I hear what you're saying. Why? Honestly, I hear what you're saying. And that's the... All you could say is that they had the idea that... The tzlios, they're taking them as real... It's strange. I have to tell you. The Ikir Din, if not that it's straight Shulchan Aruch, I would say, it is a strange din. That's the Sefer Truma's din. But what I'll tell you is, which is why perhaps you never heard of the Sefer Truma, is because even though he says it, but it says if it's less than a gris, you can still be tola in the first 3 days. Okay, you hear that? If the state is less than the size of a gris in the first 3 days, it's still tahora. Whereas, if it's more than a gris and you want to be tolet from the shukshal tabachim, we say, oh, shukshal tabachim. Could be if it was a really stark atzliya, he would also be tola. But something that's atzliya, she went through a shukshal tabachim, Dam got on her from that, not so likely. It's so much more likely that this is just, her Hafsik Tara really was not authentic. What do I mean not authentic?
Not
authentic. I'll tell you what that means. you know, you clean yourself out before the Hafsik Tara. Women take a bath before the Hafsik Tara, or whatever they do, they clean themselves out. They do a bedika, there was no dam there, but really in the Makar there's still some dam left over, and it comes out afterwards. Happens to be just Messias. After one has a half Sektara, the first days of Shiv Nakiyam, very common finding some. That's fact. So it's not maybe they had a very machmer Rav who on the half Sektara was very machmer they want, but she managed to get a good Vedika even though she's really not 100% clean. So therefore it's more likely, we're machmer. But by less than a gris, we're makom.
Okay.
So the svara is, what we've been mentioning, is that this is a shir of chachamim built in. It is a tzliya, but it's a tzliyah that's more powerful than a regular tzliyah, because this is their tzliyah to allow for tiny stains, because tiny stains are very hard to be careful from. There's so many things that could cause it. And connected that, a re'iyah with hargasha on a tiny stain is extremely unlikely. And therefore, Chazal were happy just giving this flat shear of tzliyah, even if it's not so realistic. And therefore, even in the first 3 days, we're makel on less than a gris. Okay? So that's another kula. The other kula is in given in Shuvah Shrama, that he says an unrealistic tzliya we never allow. He says, but less than a gris we allow. So his case is a pretty common case, is that you have a tzliya, what to be told adam, but if you look at the stain, it's clear that's not where it came from. Meaning what? Let's say you have some red paint to be told on. That's bad. Let's say you have blood to be told on. Right? The woman was handling blood. She's a shochet. Fine. So it could be it was regular dam of a chicken. But she looks at the stain. It's a yellow stain, yellowish stain, and it has a reddish border. The border is red. And you look at the border, there's red there, but it's clear that the source of the stain wasn't the chicken blood. Because chicken blood would just make a straight red blood, red stain. What makes a stain like that, a stain with a border, a red border? So anyone who sees dam knows that that's very common for dam nida, because dam nida isn't straight blood. It's blood mixed with the other mucus, the other things that are in the Vesachitzon, and the Mela, it comes out as a more exotic colors. With a border, the way blood is, blood travels very well through fabric, like it flows well through capillaries, and it makes a reddish border. So it doesn't look like it came from your tzliya. So the Rama says, you can't do a tzliya, because it doesn't look like your tzliya is true. He says, but if the border is less than a gris, you can still be mekel.
What does border mean exactly?
The border. So there's he's just talking about behova, that generally in a stain, the outside, you have a stain like this, the outer part of the stain is usually redder than the inner part of the stain.
Really?
Yeah. Really. That's like, that's just the way Damnita comes. So, I mean, real damnida, like from the period, a stark damnida is going to look just like regular blood. But if it's dam that was already shifting towards tar colors, it'll come out. And it's right. It's a chemistry. I learned about chromatography.
Okay.
The different substances travel at different rates through fabric, and therefore, if you put a solution into fabric, it's going to break apart in the stain. Okay, but Matthias says that's the way it is. You can have a stain, and in the stain there's some red, and you see it's all part of one stain, so clearly it didn't come from the chicken. So the Rama said you have to be machmer, and you can't do the tzliya, because the tzliya doesn't look realistic. But, he says, if it's less than a gris, you can still be tola. It's same sort of thing. That Chazal had this kula for less than a gris that's stronger than regular tzliyos. There's the other point that some Achronim take this to. This is Reitara and the Gilead Marsha. They say the same thing would be true if you have a stain, a big red stain, more than a gris, but it's half on colored and half on white. It's on this beged and it goes from one to the other. So now you look at it and the whole stain itself is bigger than a gris. So you definitely can't say the whole stain came from a machola. Some of it came from the guf. But they say that you could be told and say, yes, the part that's on the color, that came from the guf and it's tahar because it's on color. And the part on the white, which on the white is less than a gris, so on that you can be told on a machola. And they say, that's not a reasonable thing. That's not so reasonable. They say, yeah, but for this din, just like we see in the Shulchan Aruch, that in the tzliya on a macholas, even though it's a tzliya, but we could be more mako. So that's another kula. Not everyone agrees with that. Rav Moshe did not agree with that. The Chav Stas did not agree with that. They said that's already unreasonable. It's not a reasonable tzliya. It's interesting, even the Shuvas Rama, and in the Noseh Kalim explaining it, even in the Mil Tzedakah himself, they write that it's not a completely unreasonable tzliya. When you have a yellow stain and the borders are red, they say, well, it could be the original dam was yellow and it's tahar, and a macholas came into it. And then you were stuck on the beged with macholas blood and yellow, dam tahar, and they mixed together, and then it spread out, so the border spread out the red. I said, it's not impossible, it's not inconceivable. Unlikely. Very unlikely. You know, I don't think you take a shvua chamura, you wouldn't take a shvua holding on safer tire that this is dam nidus. So that could be. Generally, people are mekel. I saw one chumrah that seems reasonable. The Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Vav Simen Pei Gimel. He says, "What if you could have a case where it's actually impossible to say that the dam was from Machalas? Let's say it's impossible for your tzliya to be true. You could have such cases. Like, let's say you have she saw a dam on a beged that has tiny checkers. It's a tiny checkered beged, and there's tiny, tiny checkers. And you find over 20 checkers you have dam. But 10 of the checkers are blue, and you could assume that taka is min haguf, and it's fell on color. And then you have a gris, just under a gris, white checkers of dam, and that we'll say that came from a macholas, that or some other source that came not from the guf, because it's just a gris, right? So you could, even though this is the whole stain is too grissom, but assume that the 10 white checkers all are not from the guf; they're from some other source, and the 10 on the blue checkers, the 10 blue checkers, all that dam came from the guf. So that's something that's really impossible, right? How could dam from two sources come out exactly in a checkered, right? Those are nothing, you've never, in history, no one's ever poured something and come out in a perfect checker formation, right? Since Adam and Rish until now, even if we were, right? Maybe an atheist could believe such a thing. If you pour a bottle of ink and come out perfect checkers. It's not possible. So the other Minchas Yitzchak was Machmer. So that's something that, I don't know if this case ever happens, but basically, just say the bottom line from all of this is that there's these kulos. We have kulos by less than a gris, more than a regular tzliya. It still is a tzliya. The concept is that it didn't come from the guf, it came from someplace else. But it's a shir of chachamim to be more makel with this tzliya than by other tzliyos. Okay.
Interesting.
Zeo.
I'm sorry, I forgot we have shit too.
Oh, okay. Great. Okay.